This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 205. Pretty day out there.
Cold.
Oh, woof. Super cold.
Man, we...
You missed it, Wheels. We were walking outside earlier, and it was like we were crossing, like, it was like the Oregon Trail or something.
Really?
We were like together.
Oh, the man cave is nice.
Were you guys commenting on how fast I was walking? Is that what I was hearing behind
yes.
me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I said, I'm a fast walker, but I don't know how Dave walks so fast.
I don't either. I think 5'10" on my best day. I don't know how I... walk so fast.
I think she said that because she heard me like wheezing next to her.
It was like every man for themselves.
I was straight up having a hard time walking into the wind. It was so windy. It was like blowing me back a little bit. It was crazy.
Yeah, you ever think, like, I think of this all the time. When I was a kid and I learned about Valley Forge, it really just stuck with me. You know, they're like, and they had no shoes, and you know, they used ice to get warm, and we're walking back from a lovely lunch at Rosalita's, and it's maybe a 50-yard walk, and it's like, I'm not sure, we may need to tap out.
Let's get an Uber.
Yeah.
It's like 38
Right.
So what you're saying is you have not handled the Battle of the Bulge
oh
well.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine. What a baby I would have been.
It's worse than the Ardennes.
How are sports today? Anything going on?
It's not a huge busy day, especially not locally. I mean, right now we're kind of counting down to Cardinal stuff, and that's kind of what I had planned if you guys are into a little baseball. Not a nerdy exercise, but a big broad question that ties into the Cardinals if you guys want to get into that. Because I was thinking about it, and it's that time of year where people like me that are dorks are kind of like, all right, what's the season going to look like? How the division's going to play out? Who are the real contenders and all of that? And I saw yesterday one of the big groups that does a lot of statistical analysis really came back with a positive look at the Cardinals. They love this team. They think they're going to be fantastic. And what I think is interesting is I think their chances of winning the World Series might come down to one guy. And I wanted to know if that idea is odd to you guys at all, because I think – Jack Flaherty being like an ace caliber guy might be the difference between having a chance at winning the World Series and not being able to do that. Is that weird to you guys that one person out of 25, one member of a 5-man rotation would have that much weight?
No, because when I think back over my athletic career, which was basically high school, I think it was like that back then. If we hadn't had Scott Finke or Dave Price or whoever it is, you're like, yeah, we'd be a different team. So I think it's probably true for most teams. Then again, I'm ignorant on it. So
No, and I think the reason is this, because the regular season is about the bulk of the work, right? It's about the totality of your roster. It's how many runs saved, how good is your defense. But the postseason is about moments. It's about a game. So when your analogy is perfect, Dave. When you think of like a youth baseball team or even a high school baseball team, if you have that one guy, you're probably going to win every important game because that guy's going to pitch every important game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not exactly that in the playoffs, but it's closer because you're really only using your three or four best guys, and you need to have somebody that can match up with the best of the best on the other side. So like if I were going to put it in the terms of like high school ball, your dude needs to go up against the other team's dude to have a chance. How did that go, Dave, when – your team had your guy and the other team had some rando, or it was the other way around? It's I'm not saying that the Cardinals' other guys are randos, right? But they're different. And what really works when you're talking about good on good, quality on quality, is a starting pitcher that can get guys to swing and miss. And that's just not the characteristic of most of the Cardinals' rotation, which is why I think Jack might be the most important guy on the team.
When I, again, being a, I'm a Cardinals fan, but I'm a casual observer as a, in that I don't know what the box score is, you know,
right,
the next
right.
day I'm not going to know what the stats were. When I think of Jack Flaherty, I think of injuries.
Yeah,
is
right.
That, is that fair?
No, it's completely fair. That's basically what it's been for him for the last 2.5 years, which is why I kind of raise his importance, because he's healthy now and they need him, or they need to find someone else at some point during the year that can give them that, right? If he can't give them that, because he's essentially over the last 3 years, not really, we should focus on the last two, because 2020 wasn't a full year and they intentionally held him back that year because of all the delays with COVID and all that. But the last 2 years, he's made a combined total of what would be the equivalent of 2/3 of one season in terms of starts.
Yeah.
You know, normally a guy makes 32 starts-ish in a year. He's made 23 in 2 years. So I guess the point here is that they either need him to be the guy that he was 2018, 2019, 2020, where he can be a strikeout guy at the front of a rotation that can go up in a playoff game and match up against Max Scherzer or Jacob deGrom, or they're going to have to go trade for that guy in season.
So I think this is more interesting, non-sports. Let's expand it. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking back, like the radio shows I've been on, the casts that I've had, being a lawyer, playing on flag football teams, blah, 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 blah. I can remember the person that made the difference in every one of those settings. You know
sure.
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think, don't you guys kind of feel the same way? Rach, I'm not like whatevering you, but I think you're that person, and I think you probably have been that person. If I had to guess, like going back to high school, it's a small group project, you probably did all the work. That's how you seem to me. Phoebe's like that. There are other people in my life who are like that. I'm like that in very limited scenarios. In most, I'm somewhere in the middle of the pack watching people do it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think you're overestimating how motivated I was in high school, but I think you're right. I think there are just personality types and people who emerge as leaders in pretty much every situation. So,
and my thoughts on you, like when I first met you was when you were brand new, you're an intern. Like, I didn't really know you very well, but every time there was something crappy to do, you did it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, I just remember that. Like,
what you're supposed to do.
Like, who's
intern?
Rachel? I'm like, or yeah. it'd be like, oh, you're here still? Didn't you work midnight? You know, I'm not that guy. And that impressed me with you. Like, man, she's here like every Christmas. Like, she's got all the crap jobs because she's going to get the work done.
I learned that from Andrew.
What did you want me to say?
I don't know. She really screwed me up with that one.
In radio, Andrew was like, you just have to do whatever they ask you to do all the time, and then they'll keep asking you to do stuff. And
yeah.
I was like, got it.
So these yeah. idiots are just going to make it do everything.
They
so
just want you to do the work.
Just
so if you do it.
It
and you'll get more work.
So much
you.
Easier just to do it.
But I think that like the greater point, like whether it's radio or whatever, is there are skills and things that are absolutely required for a group to function as best that it can.
Well, and also I think there are always, even if it's not necessarily like the leader, like the star player might not be the captain. You know what I mean? There's,
right.
I think it could be a different set
but
of
we
skills.
We always know who the star player is.
Yeah. There's like the guy who's really good at, you know, bringing everybody together and kind of wrangling everybody and going like, okay, I can manage all of you, and everybody likes me, and I like all of you, and
he's
we can work together.
He's describing himself.
No. I just mean
right now he's doing a little
He's hot. He's smart, and people respect him.
Okay, can I tell you
thick,
what's worse?
Dark hair. He eats a lot of donuts.
Can I tell you what's even worse? I'm thinking of BTS. I'm thinking of how RM is the leader of BTS because he's good at sort of keeping everybody together.
And I'm the
Who's
one
the
going
Jack
to therapy.
Who's the Jack Flaherty of BTS?
Jungkook. Jungkook's the most talented.
Duh.
He's the most popular.
Huh.
He's the one who's the best singer, and he's going to have the biggest, you know, solo career one day. But I was thinking like that's a huge group of people, and the star player is not the captain, but they're both, you know, they're important roles, but you know who, like you said, you always know who the star is.
Yeah. Like, I'm such a Beatles nut. and forever, is it Lennon or McCartney? Who's the genius? You know what I've always said? Without Ringo, the Beatles aren't the Beatles. Without his...
Ringo says that, too.
The humor and the big nose and the floppy hair and the personality, and his name's Ringo. His name been Herbert. I don't think the Beatles are the Beatles. I think that you take something like that to be catchy, and that's there you go.
Is that his real name?
Richard Starkey.
Okay, that's right. I knew that.
Hard left turn. I saw something today, which I knew was true, but when you see it, you go, oh, yeah, that's true, I guess, that it's very possible that one volcanic eruption from the right volcano could send the entire planet into chaos. And you know that, you know, we've had volcanism going all the way back. There are other planets out there. We can see the volcanoes. It's a big part of why we have the Earth and why we have the life that we do. But they're still there. And we just, like, pay people $1,000 to take us up and wear a helmet and go, like, take a selfie. But it's like, this could end everything.
That was a big theory a handful of years ago, right? The Yellowstone volcano, there was some sort
still
of...
Still is.
It still is, but there was like a period of time. You know, a scientist will say like, that could happen one day, and a lot of people like latch onto it like it's going to happen like tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And the ashes are going to like block out the sun. Kind of scary to think about, so...
I remember...
I just don't.
People who are my age, who have lived in St. Louis a long time, remember... 1990, I think it was, like December 2nd, November 2nd, when a local, what's it called, seismologist predicted the New Madrid Fault would have a San Francisco-type earthquake. Mm. And I was working in the Boatman's Tower, 100 North Broadway, as an attorney at the time, and there were real discussions about whether anyone should come in the office. Like, it was that bad.
They thought it was going to happen, like, immediately?
Like, 2 p.m. I mean, it was like that day. Like, look, I've done all the calculations, and everyone was just like... freaking out. And then it happened.
Apparently we're overdue for something like that with the New Madrid Fault.
I think you're right.
I'm tired of being overdue for horrible things. Like we were overdue for COVID.
Doesn't it feel like we should be the opposite?
Yeah, like we just had COVID and we were overdue for that. So can we just have a few years?
Tell you guys about... Welcome back, guys. DGS 221. Each day at this time, we're going to have... typically, Michael, come in from the newsroom. If he's gone, we'll have someone else come in and kind of give us an update. What are you working on? What's coming up on the news? So good to see you.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well. What are we working on today?
Well, Kevin Killeen, you might have heard in the top of the hour there. He's out at the auto shops today because a lot of people are because cars are piling up. Because parts are not coming in. It's taking months in some cases for the parts to come in. So first of all, if you don't have rental car insurance, you might want to consider adding that because what do you do if you have like a month and the car's just sitting at the body shop? What do you?
I can tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kevin's going wheels right now.
Yeah, my car was smashed on December 20th and it has still not been into a repair shop. The appointment's not till January 30th and my rental car coverage is about to expire.
See, I wish I had rental car coverage. I need to take a look at that. So he's talked with KMOX Auto Show host Greg Damon. We'll have some tips, some information on how that's going coming up as we go through the news. We've got a couple of sports items. First of all, there's a new franchise in St. Louis. Don't know if you know about this.
Only from KMOX News.
This is Major League Pickleball is now in St. Louis and Orlando. The St. Louis Shock and the Orlando Squeeze. And the St. Louis ownership group is pretty cool. It's a couple of business folks who have their name on the SLU Arena, Chaffetz Arena, Richard Chaffetz and his son Ross. So pickleball is something that's just grown.
Yeah.
It seems like it came from nowhere.
Yeah.
Heard nothing about it. Knew nothing about it.
I have to give up on this because it's annoyed me since I heard the word. mostly because Mark Close, who's my best frenemy in the world, and he just became enamored with it. And so I hated it because he loved it. And the same way with It's a Wonderful Life. I finally watched it for the first time ever, and it's a great film. And I refuse to because Mark Close liked it. But yeah, pickleball is going to win, and I'm going to lose. So.
And the people who are into it are
super into
really
super
into it.
Into it. Yeah. Do you know if they're going to play at Chaffetz? Have they said anything?
Don't have the venue,
okay.
I guess. They could go to Chesterfield Mall, though, right?
Oh,
haven't
yeah.
They place?
They've yeah. been the big playing atrium pickleball with out there.
Pickleball courts there? I think
not for much longer, though. Aren't they redeveloping it?
Yeah. Actually, I just got a link. Frank Ladd sent this to me. They're auctioning off all the stuff from the Macy's at Chesterfield Mall.
Ooh.
So if you ever wanted like a...
and cap.
Lancome cosmetic counter in the basement.
I kind of do want that.
I think it's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. It does light up and everything, so that's neat. And then the other sports item is that St. Louis City SC is doing what we all wish that we were doing. And what some in the KMOX sports department will be doing in about a month, they're going to Florida for a little bit of training, a scrimmage in Fort Lauderdale against Charlotte that's coming up on Saturday, and they'll open their season against Charlotte coming up at the new stadium. They're also partnering with the University of Missouri St. Louis on something that also just came out of nowhere and has become a huge thing over the last several years, e-sports. I didn't even know that the City SC, I knew they had an esports team, but they have a separate jersey for the esports team. They're going to have an esports lounge at their headquarters downtown.
It's a huge deal. Kids are getting scholarships.
Do they just play like FIFA?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they set up against, you could play against the Chicago Fire esports team or the Sporting KC esports team, I guess.
Wheels, you're is into e and real sports. What do you think of all that?
I love it. I mean, obviously, it's not exactly the same thing as far as the viewing experience. But, I mean, if you go look at Twitch or go on YouTube, you'll find, I don't even know how many thousands and thousands of videos of people playing all kinds of games, from FIFA to Madden to MLB The Show to all the other first-person shooters, you know, the big sandbox games, all of that stuff like Fortnite. People watch that stuff for pure entertainment. If you're going to do it there, why not do it in a more organized way?
I remember when Phoebe was little and she was playing the SpongeBob game, and then she just started watching people play the SpongeBob game on YouTube. And I didn't shame her, like, you little piece of crap. But I remember being like, really? Now we're just watching people play video games. Yeah, there's real future in that.
Yeah. It's funny because when you think about it, when you think about it in terms of entertainment, we're just watching people pretend to be other people, right?
You're right. You're right. So what else got?
We've also got recreational marijuana. Not available at stores yet, but lots of cities. Earlier this week, we talked about St. Louis County looking at putting a tax on that. Hazelwood is now not just looking at whether they want to add a tax to it as well, but whether they can put some controls on the stores. The constitutional amendment says you can't ban it, but maybe they could say we'd like it on this corner, not that corner, or we'd like the hours to be this, or you know, that sort of thing. So,
when-ish can you go buy it?
I think it's next month, right? They said February would be the earliest that it would be available to purchase. So,
which is crazy because so many other states, I think Maryland at the same election as Missouri, or I think it was Maryland, voted the same thing, but it's going to take 2 years.
Oh, wow.
2024 at the earliest, 25 most likely. New York, like a couple of years ago, voted to legalize it. They're just now getting the stores up and running. So it's kind of crazy when you look at the context of across the country how fast Missouri's getting on top of this. Just
not sure that says about
weeks.
Us.
We're ready to go.
They're flipping the medicinal stores over right away. There was some controversy with this because people wanted to be able to apply for new stores right away. That's being held off because they're letting the medicinal stores switch over immediately.
Gotcha.
So that's what we're covering today.
Very nice. Good. Kev, when do you start your prep?
In half an hour.
You should probably put that at the top of the hour news. Yeah.
I'll get the breaking news sound.
Send Colleen out there to cover it.
All I'm picturing is the scene in Dumb and Dumber, and I'm wondering if that's truly going to be what it's like.
Not far off, my friend.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
33 DGS. Kevin Wheeler is at home doing prep for a colonoscopy tomorrow. Wheels, will you be on with us at all tomorrow, even remotely?
Would you like me to call in while I'm on the way home and still recovering from anesthesia?
Oh, boy, I don't know.
Sounds risky.
I'm not ready for that kind of honesty.
Yes and no.
Yeah. Well, it could be before the show. You may want to pre-record it. So
okay,
that way.
We'll play it by ear.
Yeah. Otherwise, I can jump on for whenever you guys want, but I'm not supposed to do anything or go anywhere.
Yeah. Chad Pleven joins us. Chad is our go-to legal analyst, great legal mind here in St. Louis. And unfortunately, there's no drought of murders going on to talk about. And the one today, although I guess manslaughter is murder, Alec Baldwin, we all know the story. Basically, if you don't, I can't help you. I don't know where you've been. So, Chet, surprised?
A little bit, yes. He and his armor on the set, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, are both charged with alternative counts of involuntary manslaughter. Now, involuntary, there's no allegation here that either one of these individuals committed an intentional act to murder Helena Hutchins. These are all negligence standards. And so the alternative act, the counts are, one is that the prosecutor would have to prove an underlying count of negligence, which means that there was a conscious disregard of a known risk and that these defendants didn't act reasonably. They were aware of the risk and the harm and just ignored it. And that's something that an ordinarily careful and prudent person would know better than to do. That particular involuntary manslaughter count carries an 18-month prison sentence if convicted. Now, also remember, this isn't a civil case. It's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt where the prosecution bears the burden of proof. The second alternative count of involuntary manslaughter is the commission of a lawful act in a reckless manner. And so that's where the firearm comes into play. That's where Baldwin holding the firearm and firing the firearm enhances the punishment. So that punishment goes from 18 months up to a 5-year mandatory prison sentence and a $5,000 fine. So what the prosecution here, what they're suggesting and that he is guilty of and that they're going to try to prove is that he acted, Baldwin acted negligently as both an actor, because you don't point a loaded gun at an individual and pull the trigger, and as a producer, because he was producing this particular film, and he's got a duty and a responsibility to make sure that set is safe. So, I think that there are a lot of good, very good defenses that Alec Baldwin has, not the least of which, and I think that this is pretty fundamental. He's handed that firearm by an assistant director, Dave Halls. He's told at that particular time that that gun is cold, meaning that there are blanks in that gun. So the standard, and I suppose that there's going to be conflicting evidence on what the standard within the industry might be, but the question then is, well, as the actor, does he have the responsibility, and does every actor in the same or similar circumstances that's handed a gun have the responsibility to go ahead and unload that gun, look at each projectile in the gun to make sure that they're dummy rounds and that they're not live rounds. Now, I suspect that the prosecution will have some people that will say, oh, yes, that's the standard of the industry. And I suspect that the defense will say, no, that's really not the standard in the industry, and that Baldwin has a right to rely upon somebody that's handing him a weapon that he says is cold. In other words, there are blanks in this thing, like there should be and like there always are. And so the added problem that I think the prosecution is going to have is that this assistant director that handed Baldwin the gun and told him that it was cold has now pled guilty to a misdemeanor charge of negligent use of a deadly weapon. So the guy that is handing him the gun and says, here, go ahead, use this. There are no live rounds in this thing. That guy's not being charged with involuntary manslaughter. Instead, Baldwin is being charged with it, and the armorer is being charged with the alternative counts of involuntary manslaughter. I suspect that you can just kind of imagine, and he cut a deal. So this guy, Halls, is going to get a suspended sentence and 6 months probation. Now, I suspect that he's got something to say that's going to incriminate either Baldwin or the armorer or both, but he's going to be subjected to cross-examination when he testifies. And I can't imagine that cross-examination and how that's going to shake out when this jury finds out that the very guy that made a representation to Baldwin, that Baldwin had a reasonable belief that he was telling him the truth, for heaven's sakes, and yet he's getting, what, a six-month period of probation and nothing more?
Chad,
I think that's going to be a problem.
One thing I find really fascinating about this case is what happened between the moment he fired the bullet and now. This guy wouldn't shut up. I know that if I were your client and this happened, you would tell me, no interviews, Dave. Don't talk to anybody. From now on, silent. You only speak through me, and I would follow your advice. I'm sure that Alec Baldwin sought advice from attorneys. I'm sure that's what the attorneys told him. But I think he's so full of hubris, just my gut. Like, he just went out there and gave all these interviews, and what he said could come back and will come back to bite him in the butt.
I think so. Obviously, you know, from a criminal defense point of view, as you correctly say, we don't want people talking, people that are charged with crimes or could be charged with crimes. We don't want you saying anything because that can be used against you. And anything that you had to say, you can say on the witness stand if you choose to testify. But if you say it before you are charged, they can use that. You don't have to testify. They can use that as an admission against interest. Now, if I'm representing Baldwin, I think I can probably get an expert, and I can probably show that Baldwin, when he made that statement, probably reasonably believed that he didn't pull the trigger. And I would say that there, and I don't know a lot about firearms, and particularly this kind of firearm, but I do know that you have to cock the gun. Now, I think that he could have had his finger on that trigger at the same time that he cocked the gun. He may or may not have realized that he had his finger on that trigger and pulled it back in a sufficient sufficient length where when he released the hammer, it went down and it acted as though he pulled the trigger. So which then would mean that what he said was may have been, and I think the FBI ran a test and said you had to pull the trigger. Well, okay, I guess there are various ways to pull the trigger. And so you might say, well, he had a reasonable belief at the time that he was making the statement, albeit you don't want him to make the statement, but at the time that he was making that statement, that he really didn't affirmatively pull a trigger in order to get that hammer to fall down and fire the weapon. And plus, he was firing that weapon. He wasn't firing the weapon at her, at the victim. He was firing the weapon at the camera. She was standing next to the camera. So,
Chet, how much of the fact, since he was a producer of this situation, like seemingly someone who's in charge over the production, do you think that has a big thing to do with the fact that he was charged? Like, hey, you were supposed to be in charge here. Whether or not you even pulled the trigger, you were above these other people making these mistakes.
Yes, it is. That's the second part of it. He's charged as both an actor and he's charged as a producer. Now, in my opinion, his defense to that is that he hires these people. He hires an armorer. She's supposed to know what she's doing. He hires a producers. He hires a bunch of people. And I think that under the circumstances, he can rely upon their expertise, and he can rely upon what they're telling him. That's why he hires them. I don't think that it's incumbent upon him, and I don't think it rises to the level of criminal negligence where he has to go around and check every single thing that all of these people do. And so under those circumstances, I don't believe that the prosecution can prove that aspect of the case beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, again, that may fly, and there was a civil case, and they did settle the civil case. I don't know what the amount of the settlement was, but that sort of argument may go ahead and fly in a civil case, but it's not going to fly in a case involving a criminal prosecution where the burden's on the state and they have to prove that guilt, not by a preponderance of the evidence, which would be in a civil case, but beyond a reasonable doubt. So I think, you know, it's fine to charge him and to try to prove both of those, but I just don't think at the end of the day that they're going to make that. And I think that, you know, in the jury instruction that they're going to get is that if they haven't proven the case beyond a reasonable doubt, and there is some doubt, that you have to give the defendant the benefit of that doubt and you have to find him not guilty. And I think, now I don't know about the armor. I mean, I think that's a little better probably case for them than Baldwin's actual charges. But I think in both instances, I don't think they're going to make either of the involuntary manslaughter cases.
Very interesting. Thank you, Chad, as always. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Okay. I really want your help on this. And when I tell you what it is, it's so stupid. So it's not like, guys, 911. I think Jerry Seinfeld is not only one of the funniest guys in the world, I think he's one of the smartest guys. I wish he were like my therapist and just like, everything he says is smart. And I loved the show. I was semi-obsessed with the show. I can't, if it like pops on for a second, I can't run to the clicker fast enough. I cannot watch Seinfeld anymore. I don't know if it just reminds me of the past or something. I'm the same way with The Office. It was appointment watching. I knew all the lines. I knew all the characters. Now, if I see it like on Netflix or Amazon, like I wouldn't watch that if you paid me. What's going on with that? Are you guys like that at all?
Yes.
I think, and I don't think it's just you. I think a lot of people do it. I know I certainly do it about some things. But knowing you and knowing how you feel about things, whenever something gets to like that level where it's like everyone's talking about it all the time and everybody's got to make it their whole identity and everybody's got to, oh, I'm so Jim or whatever, that makes you it gives you the ick for that thing.
Same thing
like
happened with Marvel.
Yeah, it just sours you on it completely where you're just like, I don't even want to think
Andrew
about
this knows
thing.
Me well.
Which is totally understandable. I mean, it has affected my enjoyment of The Office, which I still think is a great show, but it's like, I just like everyone wants to talk about it all the time. And it's like, I don't care that much.
Wheeler, are you averse to these shows just because they're in the past and you are a future looking person?
You know, it's funny for TV shows. I cannot watch anything old. Especially from like the 80s and the 90s, I can't do it. I can't do like Friends episodes or like old Law and Orders or whatever.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too.
But I can do movies that are blockbusters. And I'm not sure. I think TV shows tend to be more dated, if that makes sense.
Yes. They're more like a product of their time. They're less, yeah. They try to be more like topical for the moment, right? Whereas a movie is, you know, you can kind of,
you know, it's a snapshot.
Yeah.
I can still enjoy Seinfeld, but the laugh track, I know they probably used a live studio audience, but just hearing the laughing just throws me off. I was somewhere the other day and they were watching The Big Bang Theory, and I was like, the laugh track, I was just like, yeah. Why is there a bunch of people laughing?
Like, if you ever want to be horrified, there's several YouTube channels that will take The Big Bang Theory and remove the laugh track from the scenes. So they'll say something, they'll be like, well, that's not how it was this morning. And then there will be a long pause. And then, I'm sure you said that. And then another very long pause while they all just stand there and look at each other.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
Having grown up when I did, everything was laugh track.
Yeah.
And it just becomes like when I started listening to CDs instead of vinyl, I missed the hiss. And just the scratchiness, and it's the same thing. Like when you watch your first show that doesn't have a laugh track, you're like, "Well, this is crap." You know, you really take your cues from the fake people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but now it stands out, doesn't it?
Oh yeah,
like,
for
when
sure.
you hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Remember too that it wasn't just a laugh track for a lot of shows. Like I remember in Happy Days, it was always like reacting to the Fonz. People were like, ooh, like all that kind of stuff.
They're like whooping when people kiss or whatever.
Jimmy Griffin's going to stop texting me. He just texted me, "You are wrong." I said, "You better narrow that down." Which segment are you talking about? We have time for one social media thing?
Sure. Does anyone have a pressing one they'd like to? I mean, I have one, but it's not like a world ender.
Take it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I saw on TikTok this guy had a $100 bill and he was at Whataburger and he wanted them to break the bill for him. But a lot of times in these fast food restaurants, like, they're not going to take a bit like a 50 or a 100 just because they don't have enough change in the drawer to change it out. So he went up there and he said, "Can I please buy an orange juice? My blood sugar is low." He was lying. His blood sugar was not low. The poor kid at the register felt so bad for him and so scared for his health that he was like, "Here's an orange juice.
Aww.
Don't pay for it. Just take it. Just take it for free." And he's like, "No, I want to buy it. I want to use this $100 bill to buy it." And he's like, "No, just take it. Just take it." So then the guy goes to his manager and is like, "You have a great young man working for you. They just gave me this orange juice for free because they were so concerned with my health." And everyone in the comments was like, "Congratulations, you probably just got this kid fired for giving away free product. Like, you could have just went up to him and said, hey, he went above and beyond." But
there's
you're getting
a clear
specific
good guy
here.
And a bad guy here to me.
Yeah, the bad guy is the guy posting the TikTok. I don't know why people do this to where they're obviously the villain and they post it anyway. Maybe it's like Will said the other day, they just know they're going to get engagement, so they go ahead and do it. But I thought that was kind of sad that now this kid's probably going to get in trouble having a soft heart.
No kidding. Mm. Jerk.
Hate people like that. People are so unaware of just like what's going on around them. Like, it's about me. It's about me. Not realizing that, you know, the other people around you are like, "Hey, dude, that's not okay."
When is the last time you paid cash for anything?
Yesterday.
You just ruined that, didn't you?
I mean, it's been a long. What I'll do is if I have cash, I don't ever carry it. So, like, I'll pay for the thing with a card and then, like, you know, next time I go to the bank
or whatever.
Sleep
on it.
Yeah.
Roll around in bed.
Stuff my pillows.
He's just rolling around in $18. I feel so rich.
It's a bunch of pennies.
Three fives and three ones.
A bunch of pennies, and I wake up bruised every morning.
It's like Demi Moore and yes. Woody Harrelson in The Proposal.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.